We want to come this evening to consider the deliverance of Rahab the harlot. And we have read this chapter, Joshua chapter 2, that deals with her and what happened to her when those two spies entered into Jericho and entered into her house. But there's also a verse of scripture over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 that we want to keep in mind as well. And there it says, Hebrews 11 verse 31, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. Now for the nations in the land of Canaan, the cup of iniquity was now full. Their wickedness had reached on to heaven, up to the throne of God, and had called down the sore displeasure of God upon them. And the children of Israel, newly redeemed out of the land of Egypt, though they had wandered in the wilderness for those many years, they would be the instrument that God would use to bring his judgment upon these ungodly nations in the land of Canaan. Joshua was the individual who was going to lead the armies of Israel into the land of Canaan to occupy that land that was promised to the children of Israel and also utterly destroy the inhabitants that were found therein. Peace was not to be made with any nation on any term in the land of Canaan. Total destruction, total ruin was to fall upon these nations because their cup of iniquity was full and the time of their judgment had come. But amidst all of that destruction and judgment that was going to come upon the people in the land of Canaan, we read here in Joshua chapter 2 and also some other verses in the chapters that follow as well about this individual who was preserved. Who was preserved. As it tells you there in Hebrews 11 and verse 31, that Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And in the midst of all of that judgment and destruction that was coming upon those nations in the land of Canaan, there is this individual who was preserved, wondrously, miraculously preserved, as a result of what happened between her and the two spies. That woman was Rahab. She had received these spies that had come into the city of Jericho. They had been sent by Joshua to spy out the city. It was going to be the first city that the children of Israel would have to attack and to overthrow. And as we know, the Lord was going to bring about a marvellous intervention of his mighty power that was going to show all that were in the land of Canaan who it was that they were dealing with and strike fear to their heart. But these two spies have come into the city of Jericho. They've entered into the house of Rahab. And she subsequently hides them. Again, we're told there in Hebrews 11, verse 31, that that's one of the points to notice, that she received the spies with peace. She didn't divulge where they were when the king and his men came looking for them. Rather, she hid them. She hid them at considerable risk to herself. Rather than to give them up and to deliver them to death at the hands of the authorities in the city of Jericho, Rahab receives them with peace. She hides them and then she helps them to escape. And before she does so, she makes them promise that they will spare her and her father's house from death when they return to take the city. And there is a covenant that is entered into. We have read there in those verses of what she said to them as she was helping them to escape. It's verse 12, Joshua chapter 2, verse 12. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also shew kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." So there was a covenant that was entered into by these men and Rahab that there was going to be a sparing of her and of her father's house. All who were going to be gathered into that house of hers there on the town wall, all would be preserved. We read about the scarlet thread. It was the cord or the rope that these men were let down by on the wall. The city gates were closed and therefore they had no other way to escape. Verse 15, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall and she dwelt upon the wall." And that cord, that rope that Those men were lowered down and were able to escape to the mountains and return then to the camp of Israel and tell Joshua all that they had discovered and found out. It was scarlet in colour. And the agreement was that that scarlet cord would be tied in the window. Verse 18 of Joshua 2. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. The scarlet thread, the scarlet cord, was going to play a very important part. It was going to be the pledge of the covenant. It was going to be the seal of the covenant. This agreement that would be made between the spies and Rahab, that they would spare her and they would spare all of her father's house, every individual that had gathered into her house, and this cord was going to hang from the window, and that would be the sign and the seal and the pledge that she would be spared, and that there was this agreement, this covenant between her and the spies. What you have in all of this is a wonderful picture of the gospel. What you have in that scarlet thread is a wonderful picture of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that seals the covenant of grace in order to save sinners and deliver sinners. And when we come to think about the deliverance of Rahab, we come to think about the deliverance that comes to sinners through the gospel. We come to think about the deliverance that comes to sinners through the work of Jesus Christ and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the seal that is, the pledge that is. Oh, the work of salvation is sure. We can have confidence in what Jesus Christ has done for sinners. And if we're trusting in Christ, then he will not go back upon his word. He will never give up any of his people. He will never forsake any whom he has saved and whom he has promised to deliver. Oh, that promise is found in the Gospels. It's actually a quotation from the book of Joel, but it's found in Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's certainty in the matter of salvation. And here we find this note of certainty and this covenant, this pledge, all tied in round here with this scarlet thread that was to hang from Rahab's window. So I want us to consider her deliverance this evening. And I trust the Lord will bless his word as we do so. And that he'll write it upon our hearts. Speak particularly to any who are out of Christ and who's not trusting in Jesus Christ, and you have no hope for eternity. Oh, may you be like Rahab and have hope as a result this evening, and even be counted among those who have exercised faith, as we've been noticing that reference there in Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. I want you first of all to consider the riches of God's grace towards Rahab. God's judgments are always tempered with mercy. That's what we find here when we come to this incident in Joshua chapter 2. We're coming to think about a land that was destined for judgment. We're thinking about the inhabitants of the land of Canaan and how they were under condemnation, and Israel were going to be the instrument of judgment that God was going to use to bring down judgment upon these nations in the land of Canaan. But in the midst of all of this, we find this example of mercy. Nowhere is that more evident than in the dealings with Rahab in the city of Jericho. And what is it that set this woman apart from many others that were in that city and in the land of Canaan? Surely the answer has to be that the Lord will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and he will have compassion upon whom he will have compassion. The Lord always magnifies himself among men and in this world. And what a demonstration of his mercy and grace there is here. And it illustrates that point, that God's judgments are always tempered with mercy. And in the midst of this judgment that was going to fall upon this land, upon this nation, even upon the city of Jericho, there's this individual and her household who are going to be spared. God's judgments are tempered with mercy. And even in our own day and age and in a future day, that principle has worked out many, many times. God's judgments are tempered with mercy. Rahab was a Gentile. Maybe that doesn't seem all that significant in these times in which we live. For we live in the days when there's the end gathering of the Gentiles, but it was of considerable significance in Old Testament times and in the days when Rahab lived, because the knowledge of God was found primarily among the Israelites. It was very rare, it was worthy of note, when someone outside the company of the children of Israel came to be numbered among the children of God. We thought about Ruth last Lord's Day evening, and we're thinking here about another individual, another Gentile, who was brought in, one out of those countless masses of heathen Gentiles that God was pleased to have mercy upon and bring unto himself. And yet when we think about that mercy, it's highlighted by the fact that she was indeed a natural outcast. But then are you and I not outcast before God as well? Are those terms not used about each and every one of us in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul was writing to those believers in that particular city, he was reminding them of what it was to be out of Christ. And in chapter 2 and verse 12 he says, "At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's a picture of every one of us in our natural state. It says there we're strangers, we're aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We're not numbered, we're not citizens among the children of God. We're strangers to the covenants and to the promise. Well, was that not very true about Rahab? And is it not very true about each and every one of us by nature? We're strangers to grace and to God. And yet God is pleased to show mercy to sinners, unworthy, undeserving sinners. Rahab was the inhabitant of a city destined for destruction. In a sense, she lived under condemnation. The condemnation had already been passed. The sentence had already been passed. All it waited was the execution of it. The cup of iniquity was now full. The Lord had told that to Abraham many, many years before, that at that time he was not going to give him possession of all the land, but that his descendants would be strangers in the land of Egypt for 400 years, and then the Lord would bring them out and bring them into their inheritance. And the reason why that was the case, the Lord said the cup of iniquity was not yet full. Well, that must mean now that it was full, for those 400 years and more have passed. And now Israel are on the borders of the land of Canaan. They're camped on the eastern side of Jordan. These spies have crossed the river Jordan. They've entered into the city. They're about to cross over. They're about to take this land. They're about to take the city of Jericho. Surely that means then that the cup of iniquity is now full, even running over the edge. And the time of judgment has come. Here is a city under condemnation. Here are individuals under condemnation. And as the spies approach that city, the people were all alike in that regard. They were a city and they were inhabitants heading for destruction under the condemnation of God. And yet, out of the midst of this condemnation, the Lord is pleased to have mercy upon an individual and bring an individual and her family unto himself. Spare that family. And yet again, we see the illustration of the gospel here. For you and I are under condemnation in our natural state. Is that not what the Lord Jesus said in John's gospel? That we are under condemnation. Oh, it's not a matter of having to wait and to find out whether we're under condemnation at some future time or not. The Bible says, "Ye are condemned already." That's the words of the Lord Jesus. We are condemned already, because we're sinners by nature and sinners by practice. We're just like Rahab in that regard. And yet God in his mercy is pleased to save sinners. Save those who were under condemnation. Like those individuals in Ephesus that we were reading there about, when Paul said, "You're aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. You have no citizenship among the people of God. You're strangers to the covenants of promise. You're without God and without hope." To be without God and to be without hope is to be destined for judgment. And that's your natural state tonight. If you're not saved and you're not in Christ, you're destined for judgment. But the glorious truth and the news of the gospel is that God has mercy upon sinners. And he spares sinners. He's willing to do so. And you have a wonderful example of that here in the life of Rahab. But it tells us that Rahab was a harlot. Here's something further to add to what makes this such a remarkable case of the mercy and grace of the Lord. She was a sinful woman. She was an immoral woman. She kept a lodging house for wayfaring men. Travellers could find a room and stay in this place, but she was no ordinary housekeeper. She plied an immoral trade and had sunk down to the lowest. In this regard, she's the worst of sinners. She's the deepest dyed of sinners. The scarlet thread may well represent the scarlet sins as well, for she was guilty of such sins. And yet, wonder of wonders, God shows mercy to her, to the worst of sinners, it seems, the deepest dyed of sinners. But then, is that not what the Lord says in His Word? For example, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Oh, God is pleased to have mercy upon the sinners stained in scarlet and crimson sins. Is that not what He's saying here to Israel? "Come now, let us reason together. Though it is the case that your sins are as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, these sins can be forgiven. Such is the mercy of God." You see, God's mercy knows no limits. God's mercy has no boundaries. His grace is infinite. We cannot ever limit the grace and the mercy of God. We cannot ever say that's only as far as the grace of God goes and no further. God's grace is infinite. His mercy has no boundaries. It reaches down and saves what seems to be the most unlikely of individuals. An individual like Rahab there in the city of Jericho, under condemnation, stained in all of her sin. And yet we read there in Hebrews 11:31 that she exercised faith and she perished not. Oh, what a wonderful example of the mercy and grace of God. None are too sinful to be saved. None are too sinful. There's not a single individual who's too much stained to their sin that the blood of Christ can't run deeper still and cleanse them, wash them, make them whiter than the snow, as it tells us there in Isaiah 1:18. Oh, there's mercy. The depths of the mercy of God never yet been fathomed. And if you sense your sinfulness this evening, you might feel yourself to be the worst of sinners. There might be that thought in your heart, how would God ever have mercy upon you? Well, take Rahab as an example and as an encouragement. God is mercy. God is mercy. And there is no limit to the grace and mercy that He will show to you. The second thing I want you to consider here is the reception of the spies by Rahab. You see, mention is made there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, how she received the spies with peace. So here's a point of emphasis in the Word of God, and we need therefore to think about her reception of the spies as they came into the city and they ended up coming into her house. It's surely surprising that these two spies should end up in this particular house, that they should enter into the lodging of house of one who would be sympathetic toward them. Surely that is of the Lord. That was of the Lord's direction. Of all the places where they could have entered into, here's the place that they chose, and they must have been directed by the Lord. They were directed by the Lord to enter into her house, because God was indicating His purpose and what it was that He was going to do in the life of Rahab and in her family. It tells us here in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 4, it says that the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." She could have had the opportunity. She had the opportunity to deliver them up and to reveal their whereabouts to the king. But it tells us that she took them and hid them. She knew that they were strangers in the city. She knew as well where they had come from, that they were from the children of Israel across the river who had camped on the other side of Jordan. Word had spread that such men were in the city. In verse 2 and verse 3, we're informed of that. That's why the king sends to her house. So it's evidently known that these men had been in her house, and yet she hides them. And as we know, she took them up onto the roof and she hid them beneath the stalks of flax that were left out to dry in the sun upon the roof. And when inquiry was made, she declares that the men have already left the city, but if they pursue quickly, they could overtake them and catch them. And by that act, she spares their life. Now her lie in this matter only confirms that she is not yet in a state of grace. Her wrongdoing in this matter cannot be excused. Her telling of the lie in order to spare these men and not to divulge where they are cannot be excused in any circumstances. And what it illustrates is that she is not yet in a state of grace. She's in a sinful state. And as we know, the telling of the lie is one of the marks of a sinful heart. It's one of those marks that will take an individual down to a lost eternity. When you go over to the book of the Revelation and you read there about those who will not enter into the New Jerusalem but who will be lost in a lost sinner's hell, there's a list of sins and it tells us all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. So the lie is the mark of a sinful heart. The lie is the mark of the condemned heart. And that is what Rahab is. She is a sinful individual by nature and practice. And here's the evidence of her sin, even at this particular stage. And yet the Lord overruled that sinful act, that telling of the lie to preserve the life of these men. And also ultimately he's going to work grace and bring this sinful woman, Rahab, unto himself. But as we have pointed out there, there is emphasis made in the scriptures about her reception of the spies. Her reception of the spies. There was something that moved her to hide these men when they came into her house. And she explains that there from verse 9 down to verse 11. In those three verses, she is saying that there is something that she has come to accept. There's something that she has heard. And as a result of hearing it, there are certain conclusions that she has come to. Look how it begins there in verse 9. She said unto these men, I know, I know. She's come to know certain things. If you go down the beginning of verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters. And then verse 11, as soon as we heard these things. So there's these things that she has heard, and they have brought her to this place where she's able now to say, I know. Well, if an individual is ever going to be saved and ever going to know the mercy of God, then that's what's going to have to happen to them. They're going to have to hear certain things. And as a result of hearing certain things, they're going to have to come to the place where they too say, I know certain things. I know things of a truth. That's what Rahab did. That's why she received the spies with peace. And the word of God there in Hebrews 11:31 is emphasizing this very point, that she received the spies with peace. And the reason why she received them with peace is this. She heard certain things, and that brought her to the place where she knew certain things. And whoever will be saved will have to come to the very same place. They will have to hear certain things. They will have to hear the truths of the gospel. And in hearing the truths of the gospel, they will have to come to the place where they too say, I know these things to be true. Now, what was it that Rahab heard of? Well, first of all, she learned of coming judgment. She learned of coming judgment. News had reached this city of the judgment that had befallen the other cities and the other nations and the other kings. And Rahab, for one, has learned the significance of that. She understands that judgment is sure and certain for her own land and also for her own city. It tells us there that terror had taken hold of them. You find that word there in verse 9, that your terror has fallen upon us and on all inhabitants of the land. They faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. She has heard this. So she has heard of coming judgment, and she has come to understand this and to accept it and to be able to say, I know there's judgment coming. Well, my friend, is that not reason why you need to come to know Christ? Come to trust in the work of Jesus Christ. Come to know the cleansing power of the shed blood, which this scarlet thread represents and speaks of, as we've already mentioned. Why ought you to come to Christ? Why ought you to seek Him? Why ought you to call upon Him to cleanse your sins and have done and be made whiter than the snow? Is it not because there's coming judgment? Do you not need to learn this just as well as Rahab? She learned of the imminent occupation of the land of Israel, of the land of Canaan, by the children of Israel. Verse 9 indicates that as well. There's a fainting of the inhabitants of the land. They know that Israel are not going to stay on the other side of Jordan, but that they're going to cross over. They're going to inherit the land that God had promised them, and in doing so, they're going to depose the inhabitants of the land. Their time was drawing to a close very rapidly. But does that not remind us of a coming day when God will move against men in judgment, and there will be the loss of all the things that they hold dear? There's many an individual this evening, they're holding on to this world and the things of this world, and yet this world and all the things of this world are destined for judgment, and there's going to be the loss of all things. The Word of God reminds us that this world is going to melt with fervent heat, and all that's in it's going to be burned up. And yet there's individuals, and they just live for this world. It's all they ever think about. Even in these times, they can't wait to get back to their pleasures and their pastimes, their pursuits that they have set their heart upon, their sins that they love and want to pursue. They're living for this world and the things of this world. That's all they're taken off with. And yet, Rahab realized that very shortly all of those things that she would have held dear and followed after and pursued, all of those things are going to be lost. They're all going to be lost. They're all going to be taken from her and from the inhabitants of Jericho and from the inhabitants of the land of Canaan generally. She learned this. She knew this. She came to an understanding of this. This is all entailed in the reception of the spies with peace. She understood that all of those things that she had held dear up until that point in time were all going to be lost. Will you learn that too? Will you realize that the things of time and sense, you're going to leave them all behind? They're all going to be lost to you. You cannot take them with you. As you face eternity and you come to that time to leave this scene of time and this world, you have to leave all of this behind you. You cannot take a single thing by way of possessions or pleasures or pastimes out of this world and into the next. This world is all going to be destroyed, burned up with fire. May you learn that and realize here is why you need to come to Christ. Here is why you need to make peace with Jesus Christ. It's because of this. She also was aware of the mighty signs and wonders that would accompany and had accompanied the judgment of God. Verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you." She said to these spies, we've heard of this. We've heard of this. We're aware of the judgment. Now that judgment on the Red Sea, that smiting of the armies of Pharaoh, remember, as they went through the Red Sea, that was 40 years beforehand. What God had done 40 years beforehand, the news of it had travelled to the land of Canaan, right into a city like Jericho, right into the heart and life of an individual like Rahab. There were many reasons why God opened up the Red Sea and brought Israel through in the way that he did. And here's one of them. A purpose that was going to be outworked 40 years and more later, as Israel enter into the land of Canaan and go to take possession of that land. Rahab's going to say, "We have heard of what God has done, and we have been terrified in what we have heard. How God destroyed Pharaoh and his armies when you went through the Red Sea. And not only what was done there when ye came out of Egypt, but the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, how ye utterly destroyed them as well." She has heard about these mighty signs and wonders that God has did, that God has done. And as a result of all of this, she's now going to receive these spies with peace. Well, isn't there going to be mighty wonders that God will do in a future time when he comes to judge this world? And would it not be better to learn beforehand, and to be able to say like Rahab, "I know, I have learned"? Would it not be better to say that and to learn from the judgment that is coming upon the world and the mighty signs that God will do in this world, and come to Christ, make peace with Jesus Christ? Rahab received the spies with peace. The sinner needs to make peace with Jesus Christ. And you need to do it before that judgment falls. Just like Rahab, you need to do it before that judgment falls. There's one further matter I want you to consider here, and that's the remarkableness of Rahab's faith. The remarkableness of Rahab's faith. Hebrews 11 verse 31 again emphasizes her faith. And it does it in two ways. First of all, it does it in the positive by saying, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And then it goes on to say, with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So there's an emphasis here on this matter. There's the positive. Rahab believed. Mention is made here of her faith. By faith she perished not. And then it draws a contrast really. She says with them, the Bible says with them that believed not. And there's a reference to others in the city of Jericho who believed not. So emphasis here is made upon her faith. And the remarkableness of her faith. Her faith was saving faith. It was saving faith. Not only did it save her from physical destruction when the city of Jericho was going to fall to the children of Israel, but it was going to save her soul. It was going to save her soul. It was going to save her from the depths of sin. The scarlet thread bound in the window was her faith in the word that was spoken to her and the promise that was made. But that scarlet thread there is an indication of a far higher faith, because she's going to be numbered among God's redeemed. As a result of the faith that she exercised, she's going to be numbered among God's redeemed. Because faith is the essence of salvation. Salvation is by faith alone. And it tells you there very clearly in Hebrews 11:31, by faith, Rahab perished not. She didn't perish because of her faith. And the sinner who comes by faith to Christ will not perish. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus said? In that great verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth should not perish. Well, Rahab believed and she didn't perish. That's what the word of God says. If you believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him as your Savior, you will not perish. Rahab's faith was saving faith. Rahab's faith in many ways was a solitary faith. Here she is, one household, one individual who is gathering in her family into the place where she lived and putting the scarlet thread in the window. And all around her in that city of Jericho, there's unbelief and there's opposition to the children of Israel. And in that regard, Rahab stands alone. It's her faith that is particularly emphasized there in Hebrews 11. Even more so than that of her household. They had deliverance, at least physical deliverance, because they were in her house. But it is the saving faith of Rahab that is particularly emphasized. She is the individual who became one among the people of God. You see, it's easy to stand with the crowd. It's a lot more difficult to stand on your own. And Rahab did that. Rahab was prepared to stand on her own. She steps out and she trusts. She has faith in the promise, ultimately in Christ. And it's faith that saves her. It's faith that preserves her. It was an enduring faith. We read there about the spies being released and down the wall with the cord, and then eventually going back to the camp of Israel and to Joshua. But if you come over to chapter 6 of Joshua, you read there about that time when Israel did take the city of Jericho. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, it says, and even all of it that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. This is Joshua's words to the children of Israel as they're about to go up. The whole city is accursed except for this individual and her household. And it tells you further down, verse 22, Joshua. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out hence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Verse 23, the young men went and did that. They brought her out. It tells us, verse 24, the city was burned with fire. But look at chapter 6, verse 25. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Here's enduring faith. And when you remember that that name, Joshua, is the same as Jesus. Just one is Hebrew and the other is Greek. But it means exactly the same. The name means Savior, Deliverer. And what a wonderful statement you have there in Joshua 6 and 25. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Well, if we want to put that in New Testament language, Jesus saves sinners alive. Faith in Christ endures, and it will deliver us from judgment and destruction that will come upon this world. As we mentioned there in verse 24, the city was burned with fire and all that was therein. This world is going to be destroyed by fire, it tells us. But there's going to be a people saved by Jesus Christ, by the greater than Joshua. Will you be one of those individuals? Saved. Enduring faith. It was purifying faith. Her sins are forsaken. The days of harlotry are over. She comes to be numbered among the people of God. She's married to Salmon, one of the princes of Judah. We read about Rahab, we read about her in Matthew chapter 1 and the ancestry there that is given of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we know that she married into that royal line of Judah. She married Salmon, the prince of Judah. Oh, a purifying faith, a faith that broke with sin. So it is with all who are saved. There's a breaking with sin. Isn't that what we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, Rahab's past passed away. Her sinful past was done with. She started to live righteously. Will you be a Rahab tonight? Come to know Christ as Savior. Come to trust in Him. Exercise the same faith as Rahab did. Oh, I trust you will. I trust you'll come to Christ. That you'll be saved by the grace of God. And that all things will pass away in your life. All things will become new. May the Lord bless His word. May you indeed come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal.